Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person here from one of my favorite places, the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Rachel Wright is here. Hello, Rachel.
Hey, Renee.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Well, we were going to have a special guest this morning, but Scooter, the Egyptian tortoise, but Scooter was like, nah, I got better places to be today. I got the memo.
That was more my fault.
No, you're right. It's all good.
He's adorable, though.
Yes, he is.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? When we were at Boo at the Zoo, yes. And by the way, thank you for inviting us.
Well, thank you for coming out.
Oh, my gosh.
That was
so much fun having you guys.
KRDO had a booth. You guys were handing out candy.
And it was so fun. And you put us right across from the loft over there. Loft.
Yeah.
That was so, of course, one of our coworkers was like, I am not going in there because they can't do creepy crawlies. There are tarantulas in there. There are snakes in there.
Yep.
The turtles, the lizards, the tortoises. It's so cool. Some of the birds are in there.
Yes. Poe the Raven is in there.
Yeah.
She's absolutely amazing. She's so smart. I saw her training with her keepers. And they do a lot of this training to help keep the animals mentally stimulated.
Yes.
And one of the things that she does is she'll pick up, they'll ask her to pick up like the red cup or the blue cup. And they have these different cups on the table.
Yeah.
And she goes to whatever color they've asked her to pick up. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, she's so, so smart.
Yeah. Well, birds are incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. And the other thing I was really shocked at, though, Rachel, you have to explain this in the loft. The skunks.
Fred and George.
Like how?
They've been...
I was going to like
descented.
I was going to say, were
so
they descented?
Gland has been removed. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was going to be like, well, I want to go over and say hi.
Yeah.
But I don't.
They're so cute and they're so friendly and they you can hold them. Like the keepers will hold them for you and you can like see their cute little paws. And
no, because I was really like, cool. I'm not going over there. Because I mean, I had, obviously, or else the whole place would have stunk up.
Right.
But, you know, with Fred and George or whatever their names are. But
well, that's part of the reason we have those animals in the loft. So, like, your coworker who's maybe a little nervous
petrified,
about snakes.
Yes.
We have Panya, who, have I brought Panya in here, the ball python?
No. Oh, my gosh,
in.
We have to.
So, let me tell you, before I started at the zoo, I grew up with a veiled chameleon, and I was totally comfortable around him. But snakes, I was never really comfortable just because I'd never been exposed.
Yeah.
And that's the whole goal behind the loft is like you can have these little interactions with someone who knows this animal really, really well, knows that before you even get close to Panya, they'll tell you she likes to yawn. She's not coming
at you with her open python mouth.
Open mouth. She's just yawning. She likes to stretch her jaw. And so having that information just makes you more comfortable around those animals. Now I'm bound and determined to bring Fred and George in here too. So
okay.
You're
going to freak everybody in the newsroom out. It's going to be awesome.
We should just let them walk in and not do any explanation.
I love it. And see, you know how some people are with snakes? That's with me with the tarantulas.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
No. I can see a little teeny tiny one and I'm like,
that's like my
I don't
that
just,
way.
Oh, yeah.
No spiders. Yep. I'm the spider wrangler at our house.
Although, you know, tarantulas can be really pretty.
They're beautiful. And our tarantula is like 20 years old.
That's incredible.
And she's really gentle. And
she
just, it's all about having someone who makes you comfortable with those animals so that you can form your own connection if you want to. And just push your, maybe that's a New Year's resolution for some people.
Right.
If you're really uncomfortable with snakes, come meet Panya. She will change your mind about snakes.
Can we let Panya out here and just let her kind of, no, I'm
kidding. She's a ball python. So she likes to wrap around my arm.
Yeah. And like wear like a big bracelet.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
I took her on the radio a couple of months ago and they're so strong that they can just hang on like with the end of their tail. And then the rest 3 feet of her was just like sticking straight up.
In the air.
She wrapped around the microphone. What do you call this?
The little part that holds it. Yeah. We'll just call
it the holster.
Little, yeah. And she wrapped around
and
that.
And she wrapped around it. Yeah. And
that's
then
awesome.
She just came back. She's just chilling. They're really great, but yeah.
But that's just one of the experiences, though, and that's where Scooter, he had better things to do this morning, the Egyptian tortoise. So you can go see Scooter. He could not make his big appearance this morning, but you can go see Scooter and all these different animals at the loft, right?
And Scooter and his brother Tut are Egyptian tortoises. They're critically endangered. They're part of a breeding program through zoos to make sure that we have that assurance population. They are so teeny tiny. He fits in the palm of my hand. I know you would have died if I brought him. I mean, they're just so cute.
What do you have peed on me? Like, what's her name?
He actually, I took him on TV TV on Monday and he peed on me live on TV. And I thought of you. I was like, oh, Renee's going to be so glad I got. It's payback. So maybe Scooter's looking out for you. He's
so
like, here you go, Rach.
People may not know this, but what was her name?
Was it Tanya, the red-footed tortoise? Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Tanya,
she's a big girl.
She's big.
Yeah. She was about
20
pounds.
And we were trying to get pictures. Well, Rachel held up Tanya, and the next thing you know, and it wasn't like it was just tinkled randomly. It was a very directional.
It seemed intentional.
It was completely. So then we put, and she got me, and then we put her down, and we tried again, and then you could literally see in the pictures that we captured.
The stream.
And it was.
I was holding her in front of me,
yeah,
and the stream was off to the
sideways,
left, right at you.
Towards me.
Yeah, yeah.
She was not having it.
And do you remember, it was every time you pushed the button, like every time
yeah,
you went
she
click
was like, we're
to take
not
the
doing
picture,
a picture,
she's like, action.
Yeah. I'm sure you can probably see that picture on this podcast.
Yeah,
I think
you can.
We used that one.
You did. Yeah.
Did you circulate it with her?
Oh, yes.
They love it?
The keepers are always very proud when the animals make an impact. And see, now you have a special connection with Tanya. So whatever it takes.
And then the last time when we won, I was like, okay, so who's going to pee on me?
Yeah. So maybe, yeah. And actually, Scooter did. Yeah, he peed on me on Monday.
See, payback.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Scooter.
I deserve it. He's your homeboy. He's looking out for you.
Okay, so we're going to take a break. There are some very special events that are happening at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo kicking off this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we'll have details on that with Rachel when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with Rachel Wright from the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo and a super, and I mean super fun event. Mm-hmm. Kicks off, what, tomorrow night at the
zoo? Tomorrow, yeah. It's electric safari time.
It is electric safari. I mean, you want to talk about fun.
I know. So much fun. It's the best way to get in the holiday spirit, I think.
Well, I mean, you just start with boo and just keep going. That's
right?
How I
we
think.
Don't stop.
No, exactly. So tell everybody about, if they're new, because of course we do have a lot of new folks here. We had boo, but this is now mm-hmm. the electric safari. Mm-hmm. Basically, you guys just take down all the Halloween and start putting up the holidays, right?
That's right. Yeah. It takes our grounds and maintenance crew 3 months to put
get
up
this
all
ready.
The electric safari decorations. So they're very strategic in that they hang the Halloween color lights starting for Boo. So those are up, and then they add to it with the different colors.
Oh,
so
makes sense.
They're super smart. So yeah, it takes 3 months. We've got 50 acres of twinkling lights throughout the zoo, 85 light sculptures that are all handmade by our grounds and maintenance crew. They're amazing.
That's amazing.
Like a 20-foot alligator. My favorite is one of the robotic sculptures. So
yeah.
They blow my mind how talented they are. They can do everything. But this rhino sculpture is giving a safari jeep like a little gentle nudge.
Oh.
And you can see the jeep like bouncing. And then the rhino turns back around and looks at you and is like, I'm an angel.
Right.
I didn't do anything. But we also have Santa through December 23rd in Santa's Lodge. So our
So the kids can come up and get mm-hmm. pictures and talk to Santa.
Yep.
And okay.
Yep, we've got a little station where they can write their wish lists and letters to Santa. They can turn those in. Of course, animal demonstrations every night. We've got schedules for those online at cmzoo.org/electric.
Okay.
And we're really proud of Electric Safari. It won 5th best zoo lights in the nation on USA Today last year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're waiting for results. I'll let you know, but we were encouraging everyone to vote. Voting closed on Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll know December 13th where we placed this year. So we're really excited.
Well, this has been happening at the zoo for a long time.
This is our 29th year.
That's incredible.
And this year, something a little bit different. So the event's always been free for members, but previously we've asked them to go ahead and secure tickets. Now we're like, just come up. Just show your membership ID.
Okay.
Members can come as often as they want, so no need to go online if you're a member and get those tickets ahead of time. Just come up with your member ID. Members get in early at 4:30, and the event goes till 8:30. General admission gets in at 5:30.
Okay.
But if you are a member and you have a guest with you who's not a member, they can come in with you at 4:30.
Okay.
So it's nice to get a jump on that, and you can get in line for Santa early at 4:30.
Now, if you do need to get tickets, though, is it recommended to get them ahead of time? Because I have a feeling it's like Boo. You need your tickets ahead of time.
We have so many dates, it's not as busy as Boo.
Okay.
So we have 22 nights. But yes, it's encouraged to get tickets ahead of time because you can save $2 per ticket if you get them online.
Okay.
So cmzoo.org/electric. Go ahead and get those tickets. Pick your date and show up. It's 22 nights. So like you said, it starts this weekend and then it kicks off again next weekend.
Okay.
And then it goes all the way through January first, except for Christmas Eve.
And something really fun to do with family and friends that come into town.
Fun.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
But this year, I don't know. I've never heard of this before. Adults, pay attention.
Yeah.
Grown kids, pay attention. How's that? So this is, you guys have started adding even more and more. It is adult nights. Basically,
yes.
At the zoo.
We've gotten great feedback about our 21 and up events. So we're like,
yes.
Let's try another one.
Because they sell out
moonlight.
Like this.
They do. Yeah. And it's a smaller number of people. So we try to keep it that way to make sure everyone's having a great time. But our last 21 and up event of the year is Electric Moonlight. It's Wednesday, December 11th.
Which is that next week?
Yeah.
Is that next week?
Yep.
Ooh, you better get your tickets.
I know. Last I checked, we had about 40 tickets left. So if you're on the fence, jump on it. It's cmzoo.org/EM, like Electric Moonlight. But it's, like you said, 21 and up. It's live music throughout the zoo, all-inclusive food and drinks. Most of the animal areas are open. We've got scheduled keeper talks and animal demonstrations. So if you are interested in seeing how some of those animals behave at night, this is a really cool opportunity. Of course, the whole place will be lit up for Electric Moonlight.
Yeah.
And then the views up there at night are just breathtaking.
With the of the city. And
oh,
then,
my gosh.
Now, is the gondola, whatever.
Oh, yeah, the sky ride. Yeah.
Thank you. My gosh, my
weather
brain.
Weather permitting.
It's going to be.
Yeah. You can ride the sky ride. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a blast.
And again, it's
spring
blowing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, perfect date night.
It is. Grab your friends if you want to make it like a holiday party for the company, whatever. It's fun. Just get a babysitter or tell the dogs you'll be home late if you're like me.
That's me. I'll be home later.
Yeah.
But you guys, seriously, those 40 tickets that we just talked about are probably down to 15 now.
So. Probably. Yeah.
Go get your tickets
it's
now.
It's nice to have that response. I mean, that's why we keep adding these 21 and up events.
Cause, yeah, because people love them.
Yeah.
It's a fun night. So go to cmzoo.org/EM,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And grab those last tickets.
cmzoo.org/electric for all the electric safari information. You can see all the animal demonstration schedules. We have different demonstration schedules for depending on what night of the week it is. So
perfect.
See when your favorite animal is going to be.
I love it.
Working with its keepers.
Like it.
It's really fun.
Go get your tickets. Okay, we do have to take a news break. When we come back, one of the very important projects that the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo is involved with. And there's somebody new at the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about her when we come back on the Extra KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking all things Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Rachel's here. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Renee.
So it's very exciting. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
In earlier shows as well, because it's very important. Programs, conservation efforts that the zoo does. And a lot of this is when you go in, or you purchase a membership, or you pay for your admission.
Yep.
Money goes to these different conservation efforts.
That's right. Yeah. So we have a Quarters for Conservation program. And through that program, every admission ticket you buy to get into the zoo, every event ticket, 75 cents of that is allocated to support what we call our legacy conservation efforts.
Right.
So, you know, the kiosks in the front of the zoo where you put your quarters in and help us decide which effort we want to send money to.
Right.
That allows our guests to contribute $500,000 a year.
That's amazing.
To conservation worldwide.
Yeah.
In addition to that, and I think it's one of the programs that people may be less aware of, it's our membership conservation vote. So in May, Emma and I came and talked to you about all the different projects that were up for the vote. One of those that was voted in the top three for the fourth year in a row is the Mountain Tapir Conservation Expedition.
Well, and I'm glad this one,
because
I did not realize how critical this was.
It's very critical.
It's extremely critical.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So that allows us to allocate $75,000 a year, and these projects are staff champion projects. So these conservation projects are efforts that our staff members are so passionate about. It also allows us, because they're not the legacy projects, to act quickly. So if there's a specific need, like this time last year, we had staff members in South Africa helping with the penguin chick crisis down there. Caused by climate change, the adult penguins were molting at a different time of the year. So they weren't able to go and hunt. And that meant they couldn't
some problems.
Feed the chicks. And the chicks were dying. And so they went over to help feed those chicks and then re-release them. So these projects are awesome. And we're so excited. Yesterday morning, four of our team members left flew to the Andes Mountains in Ecuador.
That's amazing.
So I'm following along with a couple of the keepers on Facebook. And Joanna came in the other night and talked to Ted the night before she left. So if anyone doesn't know what a mountain tapir is.
I was going to say, why don't you do, because really, they're so ugly, they're cute.
It's true.
They're magical.
Like,
they are, absolutely. They're amazing, but again, they aren't critical. Yeah. They are what?
They're critically endangered. They estimate there are about 2,500 left in the world, which is a very low number. There are only 7 in the United States, and 2 of them live at Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. So to describe them, they have these prehensile snouts.
Yes.
And then they kind of have bear body, like bear like.
That's the best way to describe it. Yes. Because I'm like, it's kind of like an ant eater with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Furry. They've got these adorable round ears.
They're so cute.
And they have hooved toes. So they've got, I think I'm going to get this wrong, 4 in the back and 3 in the front on their feet. So those are so they can scramble up the mountains.
Yes.
They're really flexible and stuff. Our 2 tapirs at the zoo are named Carlotta and Kofan.
Oh.
Carlotta is 25 and Kofan's 16. And you can visit them. Come and see these magical creatures.
Yeah.
They are just, to know them is to love them, I say. They just, not a lot of people know about them.
Right. So, and I'm sure they see them and go, what is that?
What is that? And they always think it's got to be related to an anteater and a bear.
Yes.
And it's like, nope.
And that's exactly the anteater. Yeah. And that's what I was trying to come at. They're kind of like a cross between an anteater and a bear, but that's what you think.
Yeah. They weigh about 400 pounds. So
they're just little tiny things.
They're even bigger in the wild, apparently. So our 4 staff members are over there right now. Mountain tapirs are threatened in Ecuador due to basically population expansion.
Right.
So what our team's doing is collaring, putting GPS collars on wild mountain tapirs. This allows them to, via satellite, track the data of their natural roaming range. The reason that's important is they can present that to influencers who can help establish policies that protect those habitats.
That habitat, right.
As we've seen with recent events in Australia, your habitat is everything.
Right,
I know.
It's so heartbreaking. Like, they're now saying koalas are...
Yeah. 80% of their habitat was destroyed. And that was... They're still, I guess, still figuring out what the cause of those fires was. But animals need their habitats to survive.
Yeah.
So whatever we can do to protect the habitat helps protect the animal. So they're collaring those also because there's so little known about this species. Our team is studying them. So they'll track a mountain tapir in the wild. They'll anesthetize it for a really short amount of time because the less time under anesthesia, the
Absolutely.
Better for the animal.
Yeah.
So they'll take measurements, they'll take blood and fecal samples, they're taking all different sorts of measurements, attaching the collar. They do this within a matter of minutes, and then they administer the anesthesia reversal so they can get back up and get back to their normal lives. But they've been doing this in Ecuador for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long is each trip now kind of like with the project?
They're over there for about 2.5 weeks, but the work goes on year round.
Right.
I mean, gathering the data. They're this year also hoping to raise awareness and educate some of the local schools there. So they're working with some of the experts, and they've told me about some of the trackers they work with in Ecuador. So our team goes over and they work with locals who know. They said they don't even use maps or GPS or anything. They just know the mountains.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
know where the tapir are. So those partners are so important for us to be able to go over and contribute to what they've been doing. So they're also going into schools. And the hope is that, like I said earlier, to know them is to love them. The hope is that this next generation of conservationists will fall in love and start taking pride in this local animal. They are often seen as nuisance animals just because they get in the way. I mean, they're on the land that the humans need to expand. So it's also kind of like you and I were talking about off the air. You've got to find that balance in developing countries and developing communities to make sure that the people who live there have what they need, but also understand that this is an animal to take pride in. This is an effort to support. And so they're over there doing that. And if anyone can inspire anyone to fall in love with animals, it's CM Zookeepers. They are so passionate.
Absolutely. Well, and so if you want to follow the keepers that are there right now, they can go to the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo, the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo social media, right? Because you guys are like posting and sharing and...
Yep. They're going to send videos and pictures and updates as they can. Again, they're in the mountains, so we don't know how reliable communication will be. But when they get back, we'll definitely tell that story. And hopefully some updates in the meantime.
That's amazing.
It's really important.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh my gosh, it's
and
huge.
Big thanks to our members for voting for that and for being members so
members
we can do
to help
these
get
things.
It done. Yeah, absolutely. So I can't wait to see all that from their
we
trip.
Will definitely keep you posted.
Yeah, cannot wait. Okay, and then when we come back, oh my gosh, we still have so much to talk about. There's somebody new at the zoo. You need to learn all about her. We're going to tell you about her when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Rachel Wright, Cheyenne Mountain Zoo is here, and there is somebody new at the zoo.
So exciting.
Is she beautiful?
She's gorgeous.
I bet she's amazing.
Gotta come and see her once she's out and about.
So when will she be? By the way, we're talking about, yes, Savelli is her name. She is an 8-year-old Ammer female tiger, and she is joining the fam at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo.
She is. Yeah. We're so excited to welcome her. So, like you said, she's a female Ammer tiger. She has been behind the scenes working with the keepers. She came to us this month, so she's going through her normal quarantine period.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
So she's off exhibit. It's a big transition, and especially big cats are apparently really sensitive to new surroundings. And I've heard this study, like domestic cats are attached to a place, and domestic dogs are attached to people.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the same thing. So she needs to settle in and get comfortable, but apparently she is just making phenomenal progress. She
Very awesome.
Is already training with all of her keepers. She's already learning new behaviors. So she will be hopefully on exhibit within the next month. So we'll be sure to keep you updated when you can come and visit her in that beautiful tiger exhibit up there on the zoo.
Well, and the thing is again, like we're talking about with the mountain tapirs, the Ammer tigers are in a similar situation. So she's going to start hanging out with Chewy, right?
That's the hope.
Okay.
That's really the hope.
Okay.
So like you said, the Ammer tigers are in an even worse condition. Yeah. There are only about 500 left in the wild.
Yeah.
They're listed as endangered, and the Species Survival Plan, which for anybody who's not familiar, the Association of Zoos and Aquariums has representatives from different accredited zoos that manage different species.
Right.
So their job is to track all the species or all of the individuals of a certain species in all the different zoos, track all the genetic diversity, so making sure there's no interbreeding or anything like that. And they will look at the genetic diversity and the presence of different tigers' genes in lineage.
Okay.
It's all very complicated scientific stuff.
Yeah, really complicated. That's why we let the
that's why the experts do it.
The people in the know do it, right?
And then they tell me enough just to be dangerous. So Chewy is our male Ammer tiger who lives at the zoo now. He has such a personality. He is absolutely phenomenal. He was selected as a breeding match for Savelli.
Really?
Yes.
The experts said these two
perfect, their genes are not represented at all. If this works, they'll both be first-time parents. So, as you know, it's a sensitive thing. So
I know, I was going to say, do we want to go to that? But it is a sensitive
thing. It is.
Yeah.
And it's something we've definitely acknowledged. I mean, the Species Survival Plan came to us this year because they haven't had success breeding Ammer tigers in 3 years.
Wow.
So it's not just that they're dwindling in the wild. Their population is dwindling in human care, which that's the assurance population. That's why we have animals in zoos to make sure that these species continue to exist. So first things first, Savelli is getting comfortable. She's learning different training behaviors. So if she and Chewy do make introductions, we have to have ways to make sure that she's doing okay. So some of those behaviors that people might not know, there's a reason we ask the tiger to jump up on the fence and show us their belly and their paws and their teeth, and we can make sure that they're healthy and they're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
It also allows us to provide vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
So the tigers are trained to come in, they call it lining up against the fence, where they lie down, and they train for months, sometimes years, to be able to give the tiger an injection through the fence. And the tiger has every opportunity to walk away, but because they have this trusting relationship with their keepers, they know whatever you're doing is, I trust you. And then they,
and that takes, like you said, a long time.
Oh my gosh. So while the ultimate goal is, we would love for Savelli and Chewy to meet and hopefully breed and contribute to their species continuation.
It's a process.
It's a process.
Yeah.
And we're not going to rush anything.
Right.
So for the time being, she's learning. She's getting comfortable. They'll be sharing the exhibit space.
Okay.
So you might see Chewy out there sometimes. You might see Savelli out
there
sometimes.
So they can get their scents all over the place.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they'll move towards howdies. That's the first step in introduction.
Howdies,
so they right now are smelling each other, and they have had tigers. So Chewy and Savelli will be in different dens behind the scenes. So they can't see each other, but they're cats. They can smell each other.
Oh, yeah.
They can hear each other.
Yeah.
So Rebecca Zwicker is the animal care manager up there, and she was telling me the other day that Savelli is starting to like chuff and talk to the keepers.
Oh, that's
She's
good.
Getting really comfortable. Yeah, that's
well. And you were telling me before
yeah.
that Chewy is very actually talkative.
He is.
Yeah.
So they were both. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. So Chewy was sort of rejected by his mother when he was a cub. Mm-hmm. So he, because he was born in human care, he survived thanks to keepers, and he was raised with dogs. So he's got a little bit different of a personality. He's not tame. He's still a wild tiger,
yeah.
but he and Savelli have sort of the same background in that way.
Interesting.
So Chewy's real talkative with his keepers. He's Chewbacca noises.
Yes.
And he chuffs. A chuff is a tiger greeting.
It's very noticeable.
It is. It's
yeah.
It's like a fast, like,
yeah.
Like they breathe it through their teeth, and then they'll start making like whoa, 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 whoa yeah. noises.
And you do that very well.
Not as well as the keepers, but thanks. So Chewy does that. They said Savelli started doing that too with them.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
That's a really great sign that she's being receptive to the training. They were training with her the other day, and Chewy was also inside in his den, and he was playing with some enrichment, which for a tiger is like a giant barrel or something.
Yes.
So he's rolling it around. And they said that she kind of like recognized his presence and turned her attention away from the keepers, turned to look, and then did the like breathing over the tongue cat thing
yes,
where
yes.
they are like, okay. And
there's another tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
there's somebody here. That's awesome.
This is how it happens. Like they very slowly gaining awareness of each other. And then the howdy that I mentioned earlier is when they can see each other. There's a barrier between them.
Right.
So it's a safe first interaction. And they'll do that for as long as they need to just to make sure that there aren't any signs of Chewy being scared of Savelli, or you know,
right.
Savelli being scared of Chewy, and
right.
just making sure that they're comfortable, and then eventually the next step would be to introduce them. So,
well,
we hope it all works out.
This is big for the zoo. Yeah.
It's very big.
It's big.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
It is.
Yeah. Well,
it's
exciting that they matched the species. You know, survival. Yeah. They matched them, and they're together now, and we can't wait to see Savelli.
I know. She's absolutely beautiful. She's smaller, obviously,
yeah.
so you'll recognize her as soon as she's out, but she's gorgeous.
My gosh. We can't wait.
We're going to post about her this weekend, I think, so
pictures
you can see some pictures.
Yeah. I was going to say pictures. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, we could just keep talking and talking.
I know,
but TJ's staring at me going, Renee, we got to stop.
Sorry, TJ.
We got to wrap it up. Okay, really quick, Electric Safari kicks off tomorrow night, Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. Go get all the schedule, details, tickets
mm-hmm.
At cmzoo.org/electric. Okay, and
yep.
again, hopefully there's tickets left since we talked about it. The Electric
The 21 and up Electric yes. Moonlight event is Wednesday, December 11th. You can get all those details and tickets at cmzoo.org/EM.
And then, of course, we're going to follow the Mountain Taper trip.
Yes.
That is going on now. And we can't wait to see Savelli.
I know.
It's
I can't
exciting.
Wait. You got to come out and meet
Absolutely.
her.
Absolutely. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Renee.
We'll talk with you soon. And coming up tomorrow on the Extra It's Business Edition, KRDO News Radio.